Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm finishing my second week of teaching on Christian philosophy. And I tell you, this has been really powerful, powerful things. Basically, I'm taking this from Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, which says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, through vain deceit, after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ." And I've tried to really emphasize that the way Satan spoils us, strips us of what Jesus has provided for us, is not through overpowering us. It's not through direct demonic attack and stuff. It's through the way we think. That's what philosophy is talking about, the way you think, a system of thought, not individual, disconnected pieces of information, but your basic philosophy towards life. And if Satan can change the way we think, then he can change the way we act and lead us into destruction. I also have gone to Genesis chapter 3 and shown that this is exactly the approach that he took with Adam and Eve. He didn't come and overpower them. He came and attacked the Word of God first, and then he got them to disobey God. So the two things that I've focused on so far is that you have to have a Christian philosophy that the Word of God, the Bible, is God's Word. And you need to not doubt it. You need to take it as being absolute. God said what He meant. He meant what He said. It doesn't change. God cannot lie. And you just stick with what the Word says. And any thoughts, any philosophy that comes to you contrary to God's philosophy, you need to reject. Now, I've already made that point, but let me just make another application. And I could teach on this for weeks because this is just so pervasive in our society, most people don't recognize it. But did you know that every time you watch a television program, every time you read a book, every time you go to a movie, every time you get on the internet and you read things that have a philosophy different than what God is saying, you need to reject that. You need to condemn it. You need to put it down. Satan is coming at us through words. Let me share this with you out of Isaiah chapter 54. And this is a familiar passage of Scripture that you hear quoted often. It says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." It says, "No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper." And then the very next phrase says, "And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn." This is how Satan comes against you. He doesn't have weapons of swords and things like that. People do that. And of course, Satan inspires a lot of that and a lot of the mayhem and stuff. But the number one way that Satan comes against you, the number one way that Paul was talking about in Colossians 2:8, when he says, "Beware lest they spoil you through philosophy," the number one way Satan comes against you is with words. And we hear words every day over the radio, over the television, over the movies, DVDs, internet. We hear these words, and it says these words come against us, and it says, "Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn." Now, even though this is a tremendous promise about how that no weapon formed against us will prosper, it puts responsibility upon us. If we don't condemn these negative words, these negative philosophies, the thoughts, the belief systems that are contrary to God's Word, then that weapon will prosper against us. We have to take our authority and reject it. I tell you, this is important. It's more important, I think, than most of us realize. Most of us go through the day just listening and not even paying attention, and allowing trash and unbelief and doubt and bitterness and complaining and all kinds of things to flow through our minds, to be exposed to us. And these things affect us. If you think that they don't affect you, well, then I minister to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." If you think you can listen to all of this stuff and not be corrupted, you're deceived. Also, if you go over, I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 2, it talks about Lot, who this just man, in seeing and hearing their unlawful deeds, vexed his righteous soul from day to day. Lot was a godly man, but he lived in an ungodly place, and he didn't condemn the lifestyle and the actions and the values of people around him. He tried to blend in, and because of it, it vexed him, and it wound up costing him his wife and his daughters and terrible expense, because Satan came in to steal, kill, and destroy, and he allowed it because he didn't stand up and condemn these negative things. You know, I don't listen to a lot of television or radio, but when I drive back and forth, I've got an hour drive from my house to the office, and that's when I'll typically get my news. I turn on the radio because in 3 minutes, you can't do a tremendous amount of damage. I'm skeptical about the news isn't really the news. It's the prophecy. Often they're projecting what's going to happen. They are adding to, and so I just am really skeptical, but I want to be informed a little bit of what's going on, so I turn on the news. But you can ask my wife or anybody in the car with me. When they come on and said, it's flu season, have you got your flu shot yet? 80% are going to get the flu or something. Boy, I'll condemn those words. This is how Satan comes against you. And I'll stand up and say, no, in the name of Jesus, it's not flu season for me. People will come up with this question about, man, are you having this problem? I'll say, no, thank you, Jesus, I'm not having that problem. I'll talk right back. I'll condemn it. And I believe that you have to do that. You have to take this and you have to defend your belief system, your philosophy. And when you hear a contrary philosophy, you have to stand against it. See, if Eve would have done that, when Satan questioned the Word of God, she could have stopped this whole thing by saying, hey, we do not question God's Word. This is what He said. And then when Satan says, you won't surely die, she should have said, you do not call God a liar. He's Lord. And it doesn't matter what His motive is. He said this. He's God. He can say whatever He wants to. And she could have just ended the whole thing right there. See, these are two philosophies that Eve didn't have that we should have. We ought to have the philosophy that the Bible is the infallible, inspired Word of God, that God is Lord, Jesus is Lord, and I am not going to question His instructions, whether it's written in the Word of God or whether it's spoken to me through the Holy Spirit. He's Savior and Lord, and I'm just going to obey Him. And if we had that type of philosophy, this would just shut the door on the devil. It would stop him from being able to have access to us. But there's a lot of people. There's people watching this program right now that you know what the Word says, but it's debatable with you whether you'll do it or not. For instance, I know some of you think, not me. For instance, the Scripture says that you're supposed to give a tithe. And a tithe is not the maximum. It's a beginning place. In the New Testament, you actually should be giving more than a tithe. And yet I can promise you that there are people watching this program right now who would sit there and prior to me using this example, you would have said, oh yes, Jesus is Lord. And yet His Word says to give 10%. Honor me with the first fruits, implying that if you aren't doing that, then you aren't honoring Him. It is dishonoring God. It is not trusting Him. His Word says, if you give, it shall be given unto you. Luke 6:38. He gave you the promise that you won't do without, but if you'll put first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33. He will add all of these other things, what you eat, where you sleep, what you're clothed with unto you. God has promised this. His Word is sure. And yet there are people watching this program that you only give if it's convenient, only if you have extra, so that if you give and the Word doesn't work and if God doesn't give it back to you, you can go ahead and make it. You wouldn't give to the point that if it looked like it was going to cost you and if it was going to put you into a bind, you only give when it's convenient. That is not making Jesus Lord. And I know that there's some of you take offense over what I'm saying. No offense is intended. I'm telling you the truth. I'm saying this because it's the truth. You can sit there and say, oh yes, Jesus is Lord, but your actions prove whether Jesus is Lord or not. The Bible tells you to turn the other cheek, to do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Many of you know that Scripture. Many of you probably told your kids that, you know what, is this the way that you'd want people to treat you? And yet, when you get touched, when somebody does something to you, you just let unforgiveness go. You just let it vent towards this person. You gossip. You say things about them that you shouldn't. And you know what the Word says, but you're going to go ahead and do it anyway. I'm telling you, that's not making Jesus Lord. Talk is cheap. You can prove what you believe by your actions. And I am not saying that if you make this decision to make Jesus Lord, that you'll do it perfectly, that you'll never violate it, because we are all fallen human beings. And even though there's a part of us that's been born again, there's a part of us that, you know, is not perfect and isn't going to be perfect until the Lord comes back and gives us our glorified body and our new soul. And so I'm not saying you do it perfectly, but I'm saying that this is your desire. You know, I've gossiped about people. I've said things when somebody's hurt me. I've retaliated and said things back to them. But I mean, just as soon as it dawns on me that, you know what, I am just completely against everything that I'm professing, everything that God has told me to do, the moment I see that, there's no question about it. I repent. I turn from it. I go humble myself. I ask forgiveness. I do whatever. I'm not saying I do all of these things perfectly, but I'm saying it is my decision to make Jesus Savior and Lord. And this is the way that it should have been with Eve. Again, I'm not dumping on her because she didn't realize the stakes, how much was at stake. She didn't realize what the serpent was doing. And, you know, you can kind of write it off that she was naive and didn't know any better. But you and I are in a battle. We know that it's life and death. And we just have to make this decision that, Jesus, you are Lord. If your word says it, I'll do it. If you lead me to do it, I'll do it. The moment I can discern that this is God's will, end of discussion, over. I'm not going to debate it any longer. If it's what God told me to do, if He tells me to give 10%, I'll give 10%. If it looks like my world is going to fall, let it fall. I'd rather fall than to sit there and disobey God. And I know that there's many of you that think, boy, you're weird. But you know what? I think you're weird. If you are running your own life, again, I refer to that scripture I used yesterday, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, it is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. God didn't create us to work independent of Him. He gave us that option, but it's not the right option. He said we could choose, but the right choice is to make Jesus Lord. And, you know, I could take literally, I mean, this is what the Bible is full of, stories of people who put God first, even when it looked like it was going to destroy them. And yet, God took care of them. Matter of fact, all of the great characters in the Bible were people who trusted God and followed His way of thinking. And they did it even if it meant their life. You know, I can think of the third chapter of the book of Daniel. And that's where the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were leaders in the Babylonian government. They'd been exalted to this position because of their relationship with Daniel. And yet King Nebuchadnezzar made this image and wanted everybody to bow down and worship it. And they refused to do so. And so they were brought before the king, and the king said, you know, if you will humble yourself and if you will bow down to this image, then I'll let you live. But if you don't, I'm going to put you in the fire. I'm going to burn you to a crisp. And listen to what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. It says in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, we aren't afraid. We aren't disguising our true intent. We're telling you this is straight up what we believe, and we don't care what you do about it. In verse 17, it says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You know what that is? That's a person that has a philosophy that God is Lord. They are going to follow His instructions, and it doesn't matter if a king says, I'm going to burn you. I'm going to put you in the fire and literally roast you if you don't obey. They had a philosophy, a way of thinking that their commitment to God was greater than their commitment to the king, greater than their commitment to themselves to preserve their own life. They said, if it be so, our God is able to deliver us. In other words, they knew that God could do this. They weren't sure that He would do it. There wasn't any specific promise that said He will keep you from being persecuted. But they knew He could do it. But they said, even if He doesn't do it, we will not bow down to your image. We will never deviate from this philosophy to our commitment that our God is God and not you. We will not worship you as God. There are many people watching this program right now that I'm saying this in love to you, but I'm saying it because it'll help you if you'll receive it. That there are many of you who have not made that strong of a commitment to God. You will serve God and you will talk about Him as long as you aren't persecuted. But if people begin to start making fun of you and talking about you as being a fanatic and talking about you, and if it's going to cost you family members, if they won't invite you over, and if you're going to lose friends, and if somebody could possibly fire you from a job. And those are very minor things comparing to being put in a fire and roasted. And yet there are many of you that if it came to that, and if it was going to cost you, you wouldn't say anything. You'd shut up. You know what? That's not the right philosophy. And that's going to give Satan an inroad into your life and an ability to dominate you. But see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went ahead and they maintained this philosophy that God is absolute Lord. He is the only one we will serve. We will bow to no one else. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar got so mad that he heated this fire 7 times hotter than normal. It was so hot that he clothed his most valiant men, his strongest, bravest men in his army. He clothed them in extra clothes so that the fire wouldn't bother them. And yet these men who were throwing the 3 Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, they were killed by the fire. And yet Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were loosed. They had been bound when they were thrown in, but once they were in the fire, they were loosed, and Jesus was walking in the midst of the fire with them. And instead of them being overcome, man, when Nebuchadnezzar saw this, he called them out, and he put them on high and made a proclamation that everybody had to worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and God promoted them. But that wouldn't have happened if they would have bowed down and have just thought about preserving their own life and have compromised. Boy, here's a word from God for some of you. Whatever you have to compromise to keep or to get, you're going to lose. Compromise is a language of the devil. You need to make a decision that Jesus is Lord. Daniel, in this same book of Daniel, chapter 6, we read about Daniel, who there was a law put out that nobody could pray to any god except Darius for 30 days. And Daniel, what did he do? He opened up his windows and knelt at the window and prayed towards Jerusalem just the way that he had been doing before that law was passed. He disobeyed an ungodly law knowing that it could cost him his life. But you know what? He had a philosophy. He had a commitment that God was absolutely Lord and he would serve him regardless of what any other man said. If you haven't made that decision, then you haven't got the right philosophy. These are foundational things. The Word of God is absolute. God is absolute authority in your life. Jesus is Savior and Lord, and it should end right there. And if you would just say, I'm only going to do what I see my Father do. I am only going to do what the Lord leads me to do. He's Lord and I'm not. If you would get up in the morning and instead of planning your own day, you would spend some time, God, what do you want me to do? What is your agenda for today? Lord, here's my calendar, my date book. What would you like me to do? And there's many, well, I've got these people to see. I've got these things to do. Nothing ought to trump God. He ought to be absolute Lord. And yet with many of us, He gets pushed to the back of our address book, to the back of our calendar, to the back of our appointments. We give the Lord just a little bit of time when we can, if we can. Brothers and sisters, that's not right. Jesus should be Savior and Lord. That's the way that God ordained it. And I tell you, this is a basic Christian philosophy. And if you would just take these 2 little things, I mean, these are major, but they're just, I've only spent a short period of time talking about them. The Word being absolute. The Word, the Bible is the Word of God, and Jesus being Lord and Savior. If you just put the word in, God, I'm going to study this word. I'm going to know what it says, and then I'm going to do what it says. And now, Jesus is my Lord, and I will obey you, and I will follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and I will do what God tells me to do, even if it looks like it's for my own destruction. I'll follow Him to the ends of the earth. I trust Him with everything I've got. If you were to do those two things, this would radically, radically change your life. If we could get more people to do this, this would radically change a nation. Satan is able to lead us into sin because of our self-love, our self-exaltation, the fact that we exalt our own opinion above God, the fact that nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm a self-made man or woman. Man, that's Satan's breeding ground. Satan loves that. That's fertile ground for the devil and all of the seeds he wants to plant in your life. When you get to a place that this is God's Word and it's absolute and He is my Lord, I am not going to question Him. I will obey Him regardless. When you make those two decisions, that will radically, radically change your life. You know, I challenge you. I know that there's people watching me who you in your heart know what I'm saying is true, but you've never made that commitment. You're afraid to make that commitment. You think that God is going to just totally ruin your life. I tell you, God's plans for your life are better than your plans for your life. You can trust Him. I just did a series recently on the Destiny series, and we use these testimonies of other people who just literally have laid their life down. And things have worked out better for them than they could have ever imagined on their own. God's plans for you are better than your plans for yourself. I'm going to go on and talk about that, how you need to understand that God is a good God and that He's not out to hurt you. That ought to be another philosophy that you have. But if you would just stick with these first two, this would revolutionize your life, that the Bible is the Word of God and that God is Lord. There's only one God and you aren't Him. So quit trying to act like Him. Recognize your position. You know, many of you treat your employer better than you treat God. You don't like the way your employer always does things. You probably think you could do it better, and yet many of you recognize that I'm not the boss. I'm not the one that signs the checks. He's the one that signs the checks, and you just bite your lip and you go on and you do because that's what you were told to do. But then when it comes to God, it's debatable. You know what the Word of God says. You know that the Bible says give 10%. You know that the Bible says you're supposed to honor the Lord, that you're supposed to love your wife, that you're supposed to esteem others better than yourself, that you're supposed to meditate in the Word of God day and night. You are not supposed to put any unholy thing in front of your eyes. You aren't supposed to gossip. You aren't supposed to criticize. You aren't supposed to, you know, just on and on I could go with all of the things the Scripture says. And you know what the Word says, and yet it's debatable about whether you'll do it. Jesus isn't your Lord. He might be your Savior, but He's not Lord and Savior. You need to make Jesus Lord. You need to come to a place to where I am not going to debate this. Once I know that this is what God told me to do, I will do it. I may have to plan for a while. It may take me a while, but there's no debate about will I do it. I will do it. You know, I'm out of time today, but I would like to encourage you to please call or write and receive this materials that I've got, this entire album entitled Christian Philosophy, or the individual teaching entitled Jesus is Savior and Lord.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Christian Philosophy Part 1 is available on either CD or on DVD for a gift of any amount. The DVDs are made from Andrew's daily television program. Request CD album T1047C or DVD album T1047D when you contact us. The third teaching in the CD album, titled Jesus is Savior and Lord, is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. Request teaching TCP3C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
Today is going to be my last day to offer you this third teaching in this album on Christian philosophy. The third teaching is entitled Jesus is Savior and Lord. And I tell you, this is really important. I offer the entire album for a donation of any amount, but I offer each teaching individually, one at a time, as a free gift to you. My partners have enabled me to do that. So today's going to be my last day to offer you the third teaching in this album entitled Jesus is Savior and Lord. Next Monday, we'll continue on the next teaching in this series. If you would like to receive this single CD as a free gift, you need to call or write today.
We'd also like to let you know that Andrew's latest book, The Believer's Authority, is available and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Again, that telephone number is 719-635-1111. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to come and be with me on September the 13th through the 18th in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm going to be at Freedom Christian Center with my good friend, Pastor Dean Melton. I tell you, this is one of my favorite places to go. These people, if you have never been to Charlotte, to this Freedom Christian Center camp meeting, you are missing an experience. Not only the teaching of the Word and the power of God and healings and all of the things that go with a normal meeting, I tell you, the people there are special. Coming to see Pastor Dean is an experience in itself. And if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you ought to come be with us. We actually hold our meetings under a brush arbor. It's going to be a great time, September the 13th through the 18th in Charlotte, North Carolina.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina, September 13th through the 18th, and in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 19th and 20th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs, Colorado, at the Caris Christian Center, September 27th, in Colorado Springs for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, September 28th through October 2nd, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Tune in Monday for more Gospel Truth.
God has shown His love for us in ways that Adam and Eve never conceived of. This is my reason, see, for bringing in these other religions of the world. I believe that demons, mankind on their own, never could come up with this idea of God becoming a man and bearing our